The Encounter Lesson 6. This is another intimacy value lesson entitled Walking in the Holy Spirit. The call is I choose to become a learner, always realizing that Christian maturity is an ongoing and exciting walk of faith. So today we're going to talk about walking in the Spirit day by day. So at this point we've gone through, you've received Christ, you've been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, but now how do you do that every day? How do you do that day by day? Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by faith, let us keep in step with the faith. So what do you think it means to live by the Spirit? Okay, write this down. I have a small blank there. Write out, what do you think it means to live by the Spirit? How do you think this corresponds to walking in the Spirit? The next section is a disagree, agree section, okay? And so what you're going to do is I'm going to read these thoughts, and I want you to mark a Y if you agree. That's like saying, yes, I agree with that. Mark an N for no if you disagree, okay? So we're going to mark these, and I'm not going to give you answers initially, okay? So you're going to have to go ahead and mark some mistakes down, okay? Or mark them correctly. First one, the true Christian life is so simple, even a child can live it. Yes or no? Second one, the Christian life is so difficult that no one can live it. To walk in the Spirit is to be free from difficulties. A spiritually mature person can still sin. A mature Christian is more spiritual than a less mature Christian. And lastly, a person must be a Christian many years in order to walk daily in the Spirit. Now that you have gone through there and marked your answers, let's read John 10:10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have to the full. John 14:12-14 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Jesus has come to give us life that he himself would live. All we have to do is ask for it. If this is so true, then why are so many people not experiencing this type of life? You know, I love it. We read these things about Jesus saying, I'll give you whatever you ask. Jesus is wanting us to ask for his life. He's wanting to live his life in us, okay? And so living by the Spirit is living his life in us. So very quickly, as we go back there and look through some of your answers, the Christian life is so simple, even a child can do it. The Christian life is so difficult, no one can live it. Both of those are true. Both of those are yeses. It's called a paradox, okay? Two seemingly opposites that are both true. The Christian life is so simple, a child can live it. Any child can. But yet it's so difficult, no one can live it. We all fall short, okay? So that's why they're both true. The next one, to walk in the Spirit is to be free from difficulties. No, that's not true, okay? That is not true. Just because you're filled with the Spirit doesn't mean the world suddenly becomes utopia. It doesn't happen. Next one, a spiritually mature person can still sin. Yes, any believer can sin at any time. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are, it can still happen. It doesn't matter how mature you are, anyone can fall. The next one, a mature Christian is more spiritual than less mature. No, that's not true. You can, upon being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be just as spiritual as someone who's been walking with the Lord 30 years or more, okay? It doesn't matter. And the next one, a person must be a Christian many years in order to walk daily. Again, no, that's not true. You can walk daily with the Lord from the first day of getting saved. So we turn over to the next page, keys to walking in the Spirit. We're going to examine some key areas that will enable you to continuously walk in the Spirit and experience the presence of God in your life on a daily basis. That should get you excited. You can have the presence of God in your life every day. Okay? So here are some keys that we're going to look at. The first one is hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. Number two is practicing spiritual disciplines. We've talked about the disciplines. Now it's come to practicing spiritual disciplines. And the third thing is understanding spiritual conflict and barriers. Understanding spiritual conflict and barriers. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and talk about hearing the voice of God. Have you ever wondered, how does a person hear from God? I know I get asked that a lot. How do you actually hear from God? You read about it. People in the Bible hear from God all the time. How do you do that? To have a personal relationship with Jesus, you must spend time talking to him. That means you must develop an ear that can hear his voice. We're going to read Habakkuk 2, 1 through 2. This is a small book in the Old Testament, not very big. Now that you've hunted that down, Habakkuk 2, 1 through 2 says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. From this scripture passage, we see that there's a man. He says, I'm going to station myself on a watch. Okay, I'm going to, you know, back in those times they had walled cities. And so the people that stand on watch, they go up and they get in a place where they could see and they could hear. Okay, so this person said, I'm going to set myself on a watch to see what the Lord's going to say. And the Lord replied, okay, write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets so a herald may run with it. That's a messenger, can run with it. Okay, so there are four things to hearing the voice of God. You'll love this. The first one is called tune to spontaneity. Write that down. Tune to spontaneity. What does that mean? That means God's voice in our heart, it sounds like the flow of spontaneous thoughts. Okay? So there's this flow of spontaneous thoughts that's happening within your heart. Okay? You need to tune into that. Okay? Because as you begin to tune in to these thoughts, visions, feelings, impressions, as you tune into them, this is where God's voice is going to be, okay? Number two is be still and stand guard. Be still and stand guard. You must learn how to still your own thoughts and emotions so that you can sense God's flow speaking inside of you. What that means is that we're gonna tune into the spontaneous flow of thoughts that's happening in us, but we have to understand that we need to silence our thoughts. Now think about this. If we're not thinking, if we're gonna silence our thoughts, but yet we're tuning in to a flow of thoughts, if you're not thinking, who's thinking? If you're not thinking, where are the thoughts coming from? Okay? But you also need to stand your guard, because as I go through this, you have to understand the things that we're teaching you here, you are putting up a spiritual antenna. It's like a radio antenna. Okay? There are other people who are not Christians that do the very things I'm teaching right here, and they can hear demons very clearly. Okay, you're going to stick up a spiritual antenna, and if you're not standing your guard, you'll hear more than just God. Okay, so number three is fix your eyes. Fix your eyes. As you pray, you need to fix your eyes, or the eyes of your heart, upon Jesus. And of course, the guy there, seen in the spirit, the dreams and visions of the Almighty God. Okay, you need to fix your eyes upon Jesus. Okay, so when you're tuning into all your spontaneous, all the spontaneity inside you, and you're silencing yourself, you're going to be still and be quiet, and you're going to listen, okay, within you. You need to fix your eyes upon Jesus, okay, because if you're fixing your eyes, if you're doing this and you're thinking about your girlfriend or, you know, the football game or something, you're putting them in positions of idols, okay? So, for example, if you're thinking about your girlfriend, but you're going to tune into spontaneity and you're going to steal your own mind, you're probably going to hear from a spirit of lust. So fix your eyes upon Jesus. And the last one is record the vision. Record the vision. What that means in here, and of course it comes from Habakkuk, God spoke and said, record the vision. That means writing out your prayers and God's answers. Okay? It means we call it journaling. Okay? Journaling is not making a diary. Okay? Those are not the same things. Journaling is what you believe God is telling you. You need to write it down. You need to write these things down. Because as you do this, it gives you a place where you can go back and then prayerfully consider what you've heard and have other people look at it and say, yes, you're hearing from God, or no, I don't think that's from the Lord. Okay? This is very important because you need to develop your ear for God, hearing what God sounds like. So if you've never done that before, it's very awesome. You're going to hear from God, but you're also going to probably get some things that aren't from God. Okay? So as you... It's sort of like a trial and error thing. You have to be willing to be wrong. You know, you have to be willing to fall if you're going to learn to walk. Okay, when your baby's learning to walk, they're going to fall down a few times. Same thing's true about listening to the voice of God. There's going to be some times you're going to tune in to the Lord, and you're going to think it's the Lord, and it's not. And that's where older Christians can help you. You've written it down, and they look at it, and they go, yeah, but that's really not what the Word of God says. And so it helps you to know what God begins to sound like inside you. so that you know it's not yourself speaking, or it's not, you know, not you hearing a spirit or something else, because you want to hear the Lord. Those are the four things to hearing the voice of God: tuning to spontaneity, being still, standing guard, fixing your eyes, and recording the vision. The next point is practicing spiritual disciplines. You want to walk in the Spirit, we need to practice spiritual disciplines. As we go in this, it says in Numbers chapter 6, we read about the call of the Nazarite. Specifically, Numbers 6:2 says, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, if a man or woman wants to make a special vow, a vow of separation to the Lord as a Nazarite," and then it goes on to begin to tell you how you do that. Basically, what a Nazarite was is a person said, you know, I want to make a special vow or a period where I'm going to seek God intently. And it wasn't forever. It was for a very specific point of time. Okay? And so if you follow here in the book, I'm just going to read this paragraph. It says, "The Nazarite was a person who dedicated and separated themselves to the Lord for a specific period of time. Samson was supposed to be a Nazarite. He didn't do a very good job. John the Baptist was a Nazarite. Lou Engle, many of you have heard of him, he's called today's generation to live a Nazarite lifestyle." In other words, that they're supposed to separate themselves to God for certain periods of time. Such a lifestyle involves walking in the Spirit with the use of spiritual disciplines. These disciplines do not help you become more holy or get you some kind of special favor with God, and that's something you need to understand. Spiritual disciplines don't make you more holy, and they don't make you more special in God's eyes, okay? What they do is to help you. They're to help you, not for God or whatever. They help you develop a better relationship with God and a better understanding of the spiritual realm, okay? And you develop that better relationship with God because you're seeking God, okay? You're talking with Him. You're seeking Him. That's why your relationship gets better with God. And it's true. It gives you a better understanding of the spiritual realm. And as you get a better understanding of God in the spiritual realm, things begin to make more sense. Just briefly, to touch on some of these that you yourself are going to want to do at some point, okay? Or maybe you're already doing these, okay? But you didn't know it, okay? So fill in the blanks, and I'll sort of go through these. One is meditation. Meditation. That is just simply you contemplate. It's contemplation of the Lord, of His Word. It results in the ability to hear God's voice and obey His Word. So meditation is where you're just taking the Bible and Scripture, and you're just contemplating them. And those things help actually sharpen your ability to hear God's voice. Number two is fasting. And fasting is abstaining from food or drink. And instead of eating, you're feasting on God. Now, if you're going to fast and you don't seek God, you're fasting for nothing. Okay? You're just going hungry. Okay, if you're fast, you need to seek God. Okay, you need to be seeking God during your eating time or some other extended time in that day or whenever. So if you're just skipping lunch, you need to seek God during lunch. If you don't, you're not really having a point. Prayer is a discipline. No one wakes up in the morning and says, "I love to pray." You have to develop that, and so that's just speaking with the Lord. Another one, study. That's engaging yourself with the written Word of God. You just studying the Bible, okay? This is different from reading. This is where you're actually digging into it some, okay? Simplicity is number five, simplicity. Okay, sometimes this is called frugality. You hear people say, "I'm a frugal person," okay? What this means is you're abstaining from money or items that satisfy our desires for status, glamour, or luxury. In other words, if I had, you know, if someone gave me $100,000, I could take that and I could say, "Well, you know, I'd like to buy me a good home. I'm gonna buy me a big house, or maybe I'm gonna buy me an $80,000 car or something." You could do that. But simplicity is where you take those blessings and you go, "You know, I don't really need an $80,000 car. I think I'll get a $20,000 car and I'll do something with the rest for the kingdom of God." Or instead of saying, "You know, I've got a perfectly good house now. I don't need to buy a new house." And you're taking that money. In other words, you're living a simpler lifestyle. You could do more to make yourself, quote unquote, happy. I want this. I want this. I want this. But instead, you forego it. You say, "No, I'm going to live more simply." Okay. And again, that's a discipline. It's not something you always do. It's just something you can do for seasons. Okay. It's like fasting. You know, when you fast, you don't give up food forever. Next thing, solitude. Solitude. That means getting away from interaction of others so that we can be alone with God. Okay? And again, all these disciplines are things you don't do forever. They're all things that we do in certain amounts of time. Okay? So solitude means you just get away from everyone. You just be alone. Just you and God. The next one, which all you teenagers and non-married people should be practicing right now, is called chastity. Number 7 is chastity. And that means you are abstaining from the sexual dimension of your relationship with others. In other words, you're saying, you know, right now God has me single, and therefore I'm going to abstain from the sexual area of my life. And that is actually a discipline, because you weren't made so much to do that. You were made to be married and have a family. And when you abstain from that, you need to be giving yourself unto the Lord, because the Lord has things for you in your time. The next one is submission. Submission. Believe it or not, that is a discipline. It means placing yourself under the authority of spiritual leaders and practicing servanthood. Okay? Everyone will have a time in their life when God calls them to lead something, and that's great. Everyone likes being a leader. But you're also, everyone has times in their life when they have to learn submission, where you place yourself under someone else's authority. Even when, and believe me, you don't know you're practicing submission until you're having to do things you don't want to do. Okay? That's usually when submission comes in. If you want to do it, you're not really submitting. Submitting is when you do things that you don't want to do. Okay? Number 9 is sacrifice. Sacrifice. That is forsaking the security of meeting your own needs with what is in your hands so that God can bear you up. And so that's a difficult one to understand. It's a little different than simplicity. And this is in the fact of saying God wants you to do something. For example, God says, I want you to take a short-term trip to Africa, and it's going to cost you $2,000. And you have $2,000 in your bank account, but God tells you, don't touch that. Go raise your money. Okay? In other words, you could do it yourself, but God specifically tells you no. In other words, God wants you to go out there and learn to trust Him to provide instead of you doing it yourself. If you're going to go into the ministry, you'll have to learn sacrifice, because there's many jobs that you can do that God says you shouldn't do. Okay? Number 10 is service. Service. This is choosing a course of action that accents the good of others and, for the most part, is a hidden work. Service. So you've heard a lot of times do something, have your right hand do something your left hand doesn't know about, or whatever, an old saying. So this is just when you're doing something for someone and you don't even care to get recognition for, okay? And this is a discipline. Number 11 on the next page, 32, is spiritual breathing. Spiritual breathing is a discipline, okay? This is also called confession, okay? Some people that don't know my terminology will call this confession. And that's the act of confessing and repentance before the Lord and to others, okay? So when you're confessing or you're repenting, that's a discipline. Number 12 is soaking. Soaking is a discipline. That is laying yourself in the Lord's presence to receive from His very essence, okay? So when you put in a worship tape and you lay down, and you think about the Lord, but you're just there, okay? You're not really meditating. You're just there in the Lord's presence, and you're not even really saying anything, okay? That's just soaking in His presence. Number 13 is worship. Worship. This is your personal responding to the love of God by an act that produces a knowing, a feeling, an experiencing. Number 13 is worship. Your personal responding to the love of God by an act of that produces a knowing, feeling, and experiencing the touch of Christ. So when you come in and you sing and you raise your hands or whatever, and you're responding to the love of God, and it will often produce you'll know something more about the Lord, or you'll experience something from the Lord from your worship. Number 14 is guidance. And this is an act of gathering a group of mature believers to decide a course of action as they deem determined by the Holy Spirit. So we'll do that a lot in youth. We'll get some of the youth leaders together when we're going, man, what is it we want to do this summer or something? We'll come together and we'll get together and we'll pray, and the Holy Spirit will guide that meeting. And so whatever decision, of course, the action that comes out of those believers seeking the Holy Spirit from their decisions, that's called guidance, okay? And the last one is celebration. Celebration. And that's making lots of noise in exuberant singing, dancing, laughing, shouting, okay? That's different from worship. Worship is where you're sort of loving on God. Celebration is, it's you're just making noise. Jesus did that, okay? Loud singing, loud dancing, laughing, shouting. This releases the gifts of fantasy and imagination, okay? So what happens when you do this is that God sort of inspires you. He inspires your imagination. You get inspired to do things for Him. You get inspired to stand up and be courageous, okay? And that's what the celebration will do. So those, that's just a brief covering of the types of disciplines that you can participate in. And as you do that, it helps you to walk in the Spirit, okay? So the next thing is practicing walking in the Spirit, is understanding spiritual conflicts and barriers. What does that have to do with walking in the Spirit? Understanding conflicts and barriers. Well, walking in the Spirit is living by faith in God through the power of the Holy Spirit. First, you must decide to place your faith in Jesus Christ, that's salvation. Then you must be filled with His Spirit by faith. And finally, you must obey, and that's the walking part, okay? So walking in the Holy Spirit is basically comes down to obedience. Obedience involves being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's Ephesians 5:18, and then in a continuous cycle of daily living, okay? So you wake up every morning filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? This involves a daily commitment to allow Jesus Christ to live His life through you. So walking in the Spirit is not, this is on the bottom of page 32, it's not a life of sinless perfection. It's not a one-time zap of supernatural power. It's not a life of constant up feelings. A lot of believers I know, a lot of teenagers, they struggle with this. They think that being filled with the Holy Spirit means they get goosebumps all the time. That's not it. Okay, it's not a life of up, constant ups. It's not a mechanical formula. In other words, you can't say, I'm going to do A, B, C, and it always happens. It will not work that way. Walking in the Spirit is a process of spiritual communion with God. It means you spend time with God. You do that. There's disciplines. There's various disciplines. By the way, if you do one discipline over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and you don't do any of the others, you'll find out you'll wake up one day and you don't really know God. The reason there's so many spiritual disciplines is because God's into doing things different, okay? It doesn't mean when you can do one, you can't ever do it again, but don't get stuck in a rut, okay? You need to constantly. It's a process of coming to God. Walking in the Spirit is constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to fill you up every day. And, of course, that's by faith. It's relying on Jesus' power, just trusting that His power is going to be there, and being obedient to follow Him, okay? You're being obedient, okay? If you're not being obedient, you're not walking in the Spirit. So all this is important because we have to understand spiritual conflict, because after this retreat, and by the time you've listened to this lesson, you're probably already there. This is probably a good time for you, but you're going to have conflicts. Things are going to happen, and you're going to have some hard times, and understanding this will help you to walk in the Spirit, okay? Next page, 33 says, be prepared for spiritual conflict. The Christian life is so challenging to live because we have spiritual conflicts. There are three forces that wage a war against us, okay? Number one, 1 John 2:15 through 17. That reads, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So the first thing that you see that's at war with you is the world. That's number one, the world. Number two. What's number two? Galatians 5:17 says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want to do. So number two is the flesh. The flesh. Now, the NIV, I just read that. That's the sinful nature, okay? The sinful nature. And you can put down the sinful nature there. I like it. The New King James, some other versions say, the flesh, the fleshly desires, or the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit. So, the flesh. Grab a hunk of meat there on your arm. That's your flesh. That's your sinful desire. The next one is 1 Peter 5:8. That says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So, the next enemy you have waging war on you is the devil. So, one is the world. Two is the flesh. Three is the devil. We must remember that Jesus is our source of strength and that He has provided us weapons to wage spiritual war. That's Ephesians 6. So you can always go look that up. He's given you weapons. We have weapons to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. So when things start going bad, I guarantee you, one of those three is coming after you. Okay? So barriers to walking in the Spirit, barriers can arise in every Christian's life to prevent us from experiencing the fulfillment of God's promises. Okay? What are some of these barriers? They're the barrier of unconfessed sin. Okay, if you have sin in your life and you haven't confessed it, this drives a wedge in your fellowship with God. Okay, now, it doesn't change your relationship. There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. Relationship means that you are a child of God. Fellowship means that you know and you're talking with them and stuff like that. Fellowship is what provides power to live, okay? Relationship is just who you are, okay? So the barrier of unconfessed sin drives a wedge in your fellowship and your power, okay? And number two, the barrier of self-effort. The barrier of self-effort. When you're trying to do things yourself, you're trying to be Mr. Perfect there, it just leads to frustration because you can't do it all yourself. You just, a lot of times you have to trust God. You have to just trust God. And the last one is barrier of circumstances. Man, I see this one all the time. Well, I can't go to the youth retreat because of this, and I can't do this, and I can't go, I'm just so depressed, and I can't go to the healing service because I'm sick. You know, a barrier of circumstances. We cannot let things sway or control our faith. I know people that have given up on God because someone said something to them. You know, well, someone called me a name, so and I just don't like this, so I'm going to give up on God. And, of course, all these barriers will come from the world, the flesh, or the devil. Things that we have to see and we have to break down, okay? We must remember what walking in the Spirit is in times of spiritual conflict or when facing personal barriers. These conflicts will produce a wide emotional response by us, okay? We're going to respond emotionally to them. Walking in the Spirit depends on our relationship with the Lord. This is a fact and a faith issue, okay? This is a fact and faith issue. Now, I have a little train diagram here that's going to illustrate this relationship between fact and faith. So you look down there at the train, and the fact, that's the locomotive there. It's the one thing that pulls everything. The fact is God and His Word, okay? God is a fact. The Bible, His Word is a fact, what He says. That's what moves life. That's what makes things go, okay? Faith, or our trust in Him, that's sort of like the coal engine right there, okay? It should go right behind the locomotive, okay? Our faith doesn't make things go. That's what the engine does. But our faith is what fuels. Okay, so when we take God and His Word, which is a fact, and we throw our faith in there, our life has motion. It moves. Now, our feelings is the caboose, okay? There's a notice that caboose down in the back and it's bopping around, okay? A lot of Christians want the caboose to drive their train. They want their feelings to drive it, you know? The problem is the caboose doesn't go anywhere. It's in the back. It's supposed to follow the fact and faith. Okay, and one thing about our feelings is they change and they do a lot. But if your life is based upon, if you put your faith on the facts, your feelings will come back in and get in line at some point. Okay, so even if your feelings go crazy, if you keep your faith based on the fact of God, eventually your feelings will come back around. And that is our lesson on walking in the Spirit. So Father, I thank You that we've had a chance to look over this. Lord, I pray right now that those listening would begin hearing Your voice, that they would begin to understand and know how You speak to them and what Your voice sounds like. I pray that You would help them develop spiritual disciplines, that they would begin spending time with You and developing a deeper relationship with You. And God, I pray that You would empower them, God, that when circumstances and when conflict arises around them, God, that they would see the source of these conflicts and the source of these barriers, God, and they would not allow their feelings to dictate their responses, but instead that they would put their faith fully upon You, God, and that they would break through their barriers and that they would conquer the conflicts that rise against them. Lord, I thank You for this. In Jesus' name.